everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at Hayi Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show for all of you today. I want to share with you two events that I went to this week. One was FERN, which stands for Food and Reporting, Food and Environmental Reporting Network. And they had a talk on Monday evening about the Me Too movement and how it relates to women chefs, and that was really a great event. And then yesterday, I went to Food Tank's 2018 summit in New York City, and Food Tank has been taking their summits on the road. Originally, when they started, they were just in D.C., and now they've had them on the West Coast and here in New York, and they're just wonderful. It just brings people together. This summit was focusing on food loss and food waste. And they had, you know, so many different speakers. I think there were over 30 speakers that were there. Marion Nestle was there talking about food politics and, you know, how so much of what we need to really do is get out and vote this week, you know, this month, or actually next month, but you have up until October 12th to register people. So if you know anyone who is not registered, there's still some time to do that. And we need to get people out there and registered because we need to really turn this political agenda around. And we can only do that by voting and trying to turn the House and turn the Senate to become more democratic. So, anyway, if you know anyone that has not registered to vote and can, please encourage them to do so and make sure you get out and vote. It's just so important. So yesterday's event was just really wonderful. And, of course, you know, when I go there, I see many people that I have known over the years doing this kind of work. Marion Nestle, by the way, will be a guest on my show next month. I'm looking forward to that as well. Lots of events are coming up that I want to tell you about in a little bit as well. And then my guest today will be Dr. Dana Cohen, and she'll be coming on to talk about her new book, Quench, and I'll tell you more about her when I'm bringing her on. But lots of things besides getting out to vote. You know, there's so many things that I wrote about this week in my blog. I mean, you know, what is going on in this political climate is just horrible. I mean, of course, we're all focused on this Kavanaugh situation, and it has us all, you know, just watching the news to see what happens here. The FBI managed to finish their little investigation in just a few days, which seems unlikely, and I heard they did not even interview Dr. Ford about the, you know, her alleged abuse. But anyway, it's just horrible. But mainly that's a distraction to all these other things that are going on. I mean, right now, Congress is rolling back taxes to give a break to the 1%. They're looking to expand a bill to expand floating factory farms and wild fishery, factory fish farms, which is hurting the wild fish and the natural ecosystems. You know, it's so much pollution into the water, not just the fish waste, but also the drugs and the pesticides that they give to those fish. And when those farm-raised fish get out into the wild, they really hurt the wild fish and they can't procreate. And it's just horrible. So we really need to pay attention to that. The EPA is rolling back regulations on how to store wastewater. We all heard about the flooding of the farms and all the waste pools from the factory farms down in North Carolina and South Carolina, and they're polluting the river. And at the same time, the EPA is rolling back regulations on how to store that waste and making it easier for factory farms to store the waste in unsafe ways. They're also rolling back allowable limits on lead, arsenic, mercury, and chromium. And I think you probably all heard that last week the EPA actually let the head of the Children's Health Office go. She's on permanent leave, I mean with pay, but she's on leave, so basically she can't do anything. And this is the Children's Health Office, part of the Environmental Protection Agency, that is supposed to protect our children. And as you know, all these regulations that we have set, they're actually based on adult standards anyway, on our bodies, our body sizes. And children are much more vulnerable because they're so much smaller and they're weakening the rules on glyphosate and chlorpyrifos and all these other things, and it's just really horrible. And then they also have the proposed bill that, you know, that states any immigrant who has used any social services program, whether it's food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, anything like that, that they will be denied a green card or legal residency based on that. So there's just so many things that we need to, you know, rally together. And, you know, it just seems like we have to stay vigilant and stay on top of the news and not get distracted by the drama that that Trump is so good at creating. And it is a drama, but we really have to pay attention to the things that are going on behind the scenes as well, because it's just horrendous. And like I said, we really need to get out and vote. That is really what's going to change things around. So, you know, there was the coal ash spill that I was just talking about after the hurricane that is just, you know, spilling into the river, and Trump is rolling back these regulations. It just does not make sense. So please urge anyone you know to get out and vote. Also, I don't know if you've heard that they are now using prisoners. You know, we have privatized our prison situation here. So now the prisoners are being used for hard labor in the farms, because there's not enough farm workers because of the immigration crackdowns. And so the immigration policies are making it really hard for farmers to find enough workers. And so now they're getting to use the prisoners, and the prisoners are, of course, not getting paid, or getting paid, you know, $5 a day or something like that. So it's just more of the same bad stuff. So take a look at my newsletter this week. I wrote about all those things, and, you know, please sign the petitions and let your voice be heard. Something I want to share with you this Saturday, if you have not bought a ticket, there may be a few tickets at the door, although I heard it was sold out, but there is a wonderful fundraiser going on Saturday at the Cinema Arts Center on Long Island. Krishna Das, the world-famous kirtan singer, will be right here on Long Island in Huntington at the Cinema Arts Center doing a kirtan, a special benefit concert for children and young adults on the spectrum. And we are supporting two local farms that we have who work with young adults on the spectrum, and that is Aukastai Farm and Elijah Farm. And so this is a fundraiser. Tickets are $40, and it's going to be a great event. And then coming up on November 3rd, we have a really great event taking place at the cinema, LIU Post. And this is the Long Island Food Conference. I am a member of the Long Island Food Coalition, which is a group of organizations that care about food and our environment. And we're bringing a great lineup of people together. Our keynote speaker is Francis Moore Lappe, who is the author of the 1970s book called Diet for a Small Planet. It's actually the book that I read that changed my life and really set me on the path of eating well. I became a vegetarian after reading that book. And then she went on to co-found the Small Planet Institute with her daughter, Anna Lappe. And both of them have written many great books, and they're just wonderful. And so she'll be our keynote speaker. The event includes a plant-based breakfast and lunch. After the keynote speaker, we have four panels set up. One is on food policy and justice, and we have Tom Colicchio and Karen Washington who will be on that panel. We have a panel on food and climate change, and we'll have representatives from Food and Water Watch, NOFA New York, and Feedback, which is an organization that recovers food and gives back food to those in need. And then in the afternoon, we have Food is Medicine with Dr. Robert Graham from Fresh Med, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, who is also a guest on the Progressive Radio Network, Sally Fallon Morell, who is the founder of the Weston Price Foundation. And then the last panel is on growing food, and we have representatives from a commercial CSA, Fred Lee from Sang Lee Farms, Michael Dole, who is from the Montauk Shellfish Company. He's also a professor at Stony Brook University out in Southampton, and he's going to be talking about fish farming. And Fran Whittlesey from Gateway Community Gardens will be talking about community gardens. And Stefan Oberman from Arrow Farms, which is the huge factory size hydroponic growing farm that is in Newark, New Jersey, that is supplying a lot of beautiful vegetables to the New York area. So it's going to be a whole day event. Like I said, lunch, plant-based lunch will be included. So definitely come out for that. Some of the other things going on that I want to share with you. Let's see, October 6th, this weekend also, up at Stone Barns, they're having their Harvest Fest. That's from 10 to 3 all day on Saturday, October 6th. And there's still tickets for that. Then on October 12th, there's the Food Sovereignty Alliance is having their National Assembly from 8 to 5. And registration, all these events are listed on my website, so you can find out more about them. The 16th Annual Long Island Honeybee Conference is coming up on from October 15th through the October 15th, one day, at the Sisters of St. Joseph Conference Center in Brentwood. And that is a great thing. If you are a beekeeper or you are thinking about becoming a beekeeper, this is a great event for you to check out. There's a Michigan Good Food Summit going on October 22nd in Michigan. Health and Welfare Council of Long Island is having their second annual Halloween Ball on October 24th. So there's just so many things that you do want to check out. So go to my website at iEatGreen and do that. I want to share with you a recipe before I invite Dr. Dana Cohn on. This week's recipe is baked stuffed baby eggplant. I have so many eggplants coming out of my garden, so we're eating a lot of eggplant right now. So this is a great recipe. You are going to start with 6 baby eggplants. Now you can use, these are Italian eggplants that I just picked small, but you can also use Asian eggplants for this recipe, and actually you can even use squashes if you don't have eggplants and you'd rather use squashes. Then I used 1 can of adduki beans. Of course, you can use fresh if you want to cook those up, but I was just whipping this together, so I used a can of adduki beans, and again, you can substitute another type of bean if you'd like. And that's one of the things in my recipes I really like to encourage you to use what you have on hand. Don't not make a recipe because you are missing an ingredient. You can always substitute something else or change things out that you like better. I really encourage you to become your own chef and get creative with these. So then 1 onion chopped, 2 carrots diced, 2 tablespoons of dill, 1/4 teaspoon of dried thyme, 1 cup of broccoli florets that I cut up small, like bite size, because you want to fit them into this little eggplant, 1 cup of cauliflower also cut into small florets, 4 white mushrooms chopped, and 1 portobello mushroom. Again, that's what I had here, so if you have something different or you want to use only white mushrooms or only portobellos, be my guest. I used olive oil for sautéing, 3 tablespoons of tamari, which is a gluten-free soy sauce, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of cherry tomatoes. I also have those coming out of the wazoo in my garden, so many cherry tomatoes, and I cut the cherry tomatoes in half, 2 tablespoons of balsamic vinegar, 2 tablespoons of chopped parsley, and 3/4 cup of walnuts. And again, if you have a nut allergy, you can just leave those out. You can substitute something else in there if you'd like. You can put tofu in or tempeh in. Okay, so you're going to cut the eggplant in half lengthwise and brush it with some olive oil and lay it face down, and you're going to roast it in a 400-degree oven for about 15 minutes. And when they're soft, you're going to remove them from the oven, let them cool. And meanwhile, while that's going on, you're going to saute the onions in the olive oil until they're translucent. Add the carrots. Then add the broccoli and the cauliflower and cook for 5 more minutes. Then add the adduki beans, cherry tomatoes, and the mushrooms and cook those for a little bit more. When the eggplants have cooled, you're going to hollow out the eggplants and cut the eggplant meat into the vegetable mixture and add that in and just stir fry that together. Then you're going to add the dill, the thyme, the tamari, the salt, and the balsamic vinegar. Mix that up and cook that for about another 5 minutes. Last, you're going to add the parsley and the walnuts. And I know I just said if you're going to add tofu or tempeh, just know you want to cook that first before you add that to this dish. You don't want to add raw tempeh into this. It won't be good. So saute that up first or steam it. Then you're going to fill the eggplants with the vegetable mixture. And then you're going to put them in the oven face up and bake them for about 20 minutes. Lower the oven a little bit so it's about 350, 375. And you're going to serve it with your favorite grain. Either I served it with some saffron quinoa that I made, or you can serve it with rice pilaf. Really great. So enjoy that. Let me know if you make it, if you have any suggestions, if you changed it around and you have great ideas, please share. And now it's my pleasure to introduce to all of you my guest, Dr. Dana Cohen. She is a nationally renowned internal and integrative medicine specialist whose multidisciplinary approach has helped treat thousands of patients using a variety of conventional and complementary therapies. And I invited her on my show to talk about her new book, Quench, Beat Fatigue, Drop Weight, and Heal Your Body Through the New Science of Optimum Hydration. And I know we think hydration, when we think about hydration, we think, oh yeah, drinking those 8 glasses of water. But Dr. Dana Cohen is actually here to talk to us about not just drinking the water, but actually eating our water. So, Dr. Cohen, are you with me?
I am with you. Good morning. I'm starving now.
Yes, me too. Actually, I'm not because I had a great bowl of oatmeal this morning with some chia seeds and some, inspired by reading your book, and
love it.
Berries and some banana. And so I'm actually very satisfied right now. So anyway, but yes, the recipe's great, so do try it.
I will. Okay. I will. I'm also on your website looking at all the the dates of all the fun things that are coming up. They sound fantastic. Lots of good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. If you can make it to the conference, definitely come. You know, it's going to be a really good one. And you know, if you do come, let us know because we can make sure that we have your book in the bookstore because we're going to set up an on-site bookstore there. But anyway. So tell us about this book, Quench. It's quite intriguing. But actually, before we get to the book, why don't we start by telling me a little bit first how you got to writing this book. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I'm an integrative physician. I'm originally started as an internist. I've been practicing for 20 years, strictly integrative medicine. So as an integrative doctor, I try to keep people off of medications using lifestyle, using diet, using supplements, and referring out whenever I can for everything. I'm open to everything, energy healers, acupuncture, whatever it takes. So I've been practicing for a very long time and have always known I need to write my book. I didn't know what I wanted my book to be on. I do a lot of hormones in my practice. I do a lot of thyroid in my practice, and I just didn't want to write yet another, you know, thyroid book or hormone book. And a couple years ago, almost 3.5-4 years ago now, my co-author, Gina Bria, asked if she could come talk to me about the work that she was researching in hydration. And I remember thinking at the time, oh, God, she's going to sell me some kind of Ponzi water filter scheme.
Uh-huh.
And I was like just feeling really generous. I was like, sure, come on in. And she came in and sat down and blew my mind. She started to talk to me about the research that was going on in with Dr. Pollack in Seattle on gel water, on structured water, and how that this is a whole new phase of water has been discovered. And I was completely blown away. I was like, I had no idea. You know, we all think that water, this simple water molecule, is just that. It's simple and the story's done. And it turns out it is not done. It is way more complicated than I ever thought. And I remember I looked at her, I said, oh my God, do you want to write this book? And she said, sure. And when we started to really delve into the research, I was like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? This is way more complicated than I ever thought and ever imagined. And it comes at you from so many different sciences too, from molecular science to chemistry, and it just goes from there. And And I have to say, I'm really proud of the book, and I think it's going to help. The book is written for the masses, so it's not, you know, it's not for the biohacker who has to know, you know, what kind of structured water. How do we make it? It is about getting your hydration in from eating the right foods, eating your water, and we can talk about this discovery of gel water, which is fascinating.
Yeah. I actually want to backtrack even a little bit more, because when I was reading about your background, your history, I was really intrigued that you had studied with Dr. Atkins, because I think that was like one of the first diets my mother put me on when I was a kid. I talked a lot about how, you know, we all have our certain, genes that we come in with. And I was, I was in a family of four kids, and I was the chubby one. You know, I was always dealing with my weight issue. We'd all eat the same thing, and everybody was skinny except me. And so, yeah. Early on, I remember my mother putting me on this Dr. Atkins diet.
And
Atkins, right? All meat, right? It was like meat and vegetables.
Well, yeah, it's basically a ketogenic diet. Yeah, it was, and that's how I started. I got a job with him right out of residency, I wasn't sure that I should take it because I was a regularly trained physician. I have to say, albeit I was miserable and at that point $200,000 in debt and can't turn back as an internal medicine doctor. And I have to say, thank God I found him, because he'd really changed the way I thought about medicine. What people don't realize about Dr. Atkins is that his center was probably about 5% weight loss, 95%, integrative medicine. And we saw people from all over the world with all kinds of diseases and things I never even saw in residency. And I saw miracles every day just by changing their diet, just by putting them on some supplements or taking them off some of their medications, you know. And it was incredible. It was an incredible way of thinking about medicine, and I truly thank God for him every day.
Really?
So,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting, because I guess I come so much more from more of a plant-based diet now, not a heavy animal product diet. So it's interesting, you know. And that's why I tell people all the time that, everyone has to find what works for them, because there's just so many different everybody's body, I guess, reacts differently to different things, and, and everyone has their own, ethics also that they want to bring into it. So
for sure. And that's how I look at it now, today. I have people, I have vegans come see me, to ketogenic people and everything in between. And you really have to work out what's right. I think the reason that was so successful, though, just getting the sugar out of your diet, getting some of the food sensitivities out of your diet,
eating real food.
Although
you, I think with him, you could even eat cold cuts, which I don't consider real food. But
exactly. I think things have changed. I definitely think he would have changed now, had he been alive.
I've studied Rudolf Steiner, and people, hold on to some of the old things that he does, and it's like, he would have changed with the times too. I mean, I think that's always the case. I remember, I had Deborah Madison, the chef, on my show, and I was like, why'd you rewrite your book? It's so big, and it was so beautiful already. And she said, because things changed. There wasn't such a thing as kale salad or chia pudding, 25 years ago when she first came out with her book. And now to have a vegetarian cookbook that doesn't have those things, it's missing, So kind of have to change with the times. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about your book.
Thank you.
So is it true that 75% of the population is dehydrated?
So, that number is not an official number, but in my practice and what I see, it may even be higher than that. I think, we're talking in the book, we talk about this low-grade chronic dehydration that sort of affects us all, and even at certain points during the day. It's not like it's definitely a long-term thing, but I think we all get these sort of dips in our hydration, days, certain days of the week, certain hours of the day, that kind of thing. So, I see it a lot, and it's I think it is the baseline of treating any chronic illness, any or preventing any chronic illness, you have to start with good hydration. It's everything, and none of and barely any of us are doing it right. And I know that because I ask my patients every single time they walk in. Even my elite athletes that come in here, I'll ask them, "Do you think you drink enough water?" And they'll say no. You know, uh-huh. So people know it too. But yeah, some of the things that people can start to think about, what does that mean? What are we looking for? If you're thirsty, you're already long gone. You know, you're already dehydrated. Thirst is not the best way to sort of think about it, because for one, we've learned to ignore our thirst. We've trained ourselves to ignore our thirst. We don't want to have to get up and pee multiple times throughout the day. I have patients say, "Oh my God, then I'm going to have to get up and go to the bathroom." And I'm like, yeah, you're going to have to. We're meant to do that. You know, that's one of the things you need to look for. If you're not getting up and peeing every 2 or 3 hours, you're not hydrated. We're meant to urinate every few hours. And you know, God knows, I've gone 10 hours and working 10 hours straight and not peed all day. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, I know better. So thirst.
Well, what are some of the health issues that can come from dehydration?
So this chronic low-grade dehydration. The first thing is fatigue and brain fog. You know, when we are, instead of thinking, well, maybe my blood sugar is dropping in the middle of the day and reaching for sugar or whatever, you know, maybe think about hydration. More than likely, it's hydration before it's low blood sugar. So hydration, fatigue, brain fog, headaches is another one. And then even more sort of serious things. We've shown, and we lay out the studies in the book, that certain cancers, this chronic low-grade dehydration puts you at risk for certain cancers, specifically bladder cancer and colon cancer. And then even more serious, which is that's serious enough, but we've shown that it's a risk factor for diabetes, type 2 diabetes and Alzheimer's disease, just this day-in, day-out, low-grade dehydration is affecting us in ways that are very serious and very severe. Fibromyalgia is another one, reflux, joint pain, chronic fatigue syndrome. So yeah, there's lots of things that this puts you at risk for, and once again, I can't stress enough that when you're looking to prevent or treat any chronic illness, you need to start here, and you need to start by getting your cells optimally. You know, our cells are, we want homeostasis in our body. Homeostasis is sort of the balance of fluid in and out of our cells. That's what our cells are always striving for, and you can't do that without being properly hydrated. And it's so important that this is where you start. I would say start here before you start any nutrition plan, or if you want to start being a vegan, great, but you got to start here. You have to know how to hydrate before you go on to any kind of new diet plan or nutrition plan.
Mm-hmm. So when people think of hydration, of course, you know, anyone who's done weight loss, you know, they talk about drinking at least 8 glasses of water a day. You know, athletes, drink your water. But in your book, you say drinking water is not enough, and that you can actually drink too much water. I actually know someone who ended up in the hospital drinking too much water.
It's way more common than we think. I have to say, I see at least once a week, I see proven labs, like so patients who have their sodium is very low, or their electrolytes are very low in their blood. Because and I'll say, "Are you drinking water?" Like, "Oh my God, I drink so much water. I drink and drink and drink all day." I'm like, "Well, you are flushing out your electrolytes. You're causing yourself harm." It's way more common than we think. I see it often. So yes, we can absolutely drink too much water, and that's not doing any of us good, because it's not creating homeostasis. It's flushing out our electrolytes. But then the eight glasses a day, that basically comes from nowhere. We don't really, you know, everybody's a different, we're all different shapes, we're all different sizes, we all do different exercises, we all sweat differently, we eat differently, we move differently, we live in different environments. You know, I there are people who live in air conditioning 24/7 or heat 24/7. And, you know, all of these things, our environments play a huge role in how hydrated we are. And because we're all different, that 8 glasses is sort of a crazy, ridiculous thing to throw out there. You have to find out for yourself, and this is what the book will teach you, what is your perfect hydration by how you feel. And I'll throw one thing, really simple test to do is you want to look at the color of your urine. This is a really easy at-home test. You want your urine to be pale yellow in color, and you want to be urinating every 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours every day. So that's one thing you can do to say, okay, well, that's, you know, that's a sign or that I can look at to tell me how perfectly hydrated I am.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. And like you said, sometimes when you do those days where you just are holding it, you're not going at all, and then you actually go, and it's like really, you know, dark yellow.
Concentrated.
You know, you know that that's not good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The other thing I just want to say about that, though, before I forget, if you take B vitamins, though, obviously then you can't look at your urine because it's going to falsely color your urine a bright yellow. So not a good thing. You can't look at your urine if you're taking a B supplement.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you recommend people take these vitamins?
Yeah. I mean, I recommend a lot of supplements. It depends. I mean, I like to look at blood work on people, and so I'll see. I don't necessarily blanketly prescribe B supplements for everybody, but if they are taking a B vitamin, and it's a known thing, like your urine will be bright yellow, so you can't look at your urine as a measure of hydration if you're doing that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were saying that the environmental conditions, like if someone's in the heat versus air conditioning, how does that affect your hydration?
So it literally sucks the hydration out of us. You know, when there's no humidity, and, you know, we live in these really climate-controlled environments as opposed to being outside and being in the humidity. We need, that's one way of getting hydrated. But, yeah, I mean, the heat, you know, I live in the city. I used to, thank God I don't anymore, but I used to have all those, the radiator heating, where you'd put a thing of water just to sort of get the air a little bit hydrated and humid. But the environments that we're living in, where the UV lighting is also sucking moisture out of the air. So those are, and then the big thing are electronic devices. You know, anything that's going to sort of add heat to the air. I mean, I know if you put your phone up to your ear, there's heat coming out of that, let alone the EMF, the electromagnetic radiation. That I think is dehydrating. That's controversial. But let's get the controversy out of this. The heat from the phone is pulling hydration from us. And then there's lots of others. We lay out a whole sort of environmental thing, even in the way that we move. Hopefully we'll be able to get a chance to talk about movement at the end, because that's a really fascinating aspect of hydration that nobody's really talking about.
And it makes so much sense that if you're out in the humidity, you're actually getting hydrated from that. I always think of the humidity as, you know, you're sweating it out, so that you're becoming dehydrated being in the humidity. But it makes sense, because I always talk about our skin being our largest organ. And, you know, when people, you know, I'm talking about it in relation to, like, putting sunscreen all over you, that's toxic. But, you know, you absorb things through your skin all the time. And so, of course, you would get hydration also from being in humidity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, think about an airplane. You know when you're on an airplane, how dry that is and how thirsty you are at the end of that air, and especially long airplane rides, because there's zero humidity in that air. It's like less than 2% humidity, in airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Problems.
So, why don't we actually take a break right now? When we come back, let's talk about eating your water, which is kind of like the crux of your book. So, everyone, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Dr. Dana Cohen about her new book, Quench, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to PRN, number one for progressive minds.
Hi, this is Gerald Celente. If you want to stay ahead of the news and on top of the trends, join me every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Progressive Radio Network for Trends This Week,
where you can hear history before it happens.
This is Karen Hartglass, host of It's All About Food, and you're listening to PRN, your source for progressive, up-to-date, and inspirational information on nutrition and health.
Light Treason News, hosted by Allison Kilkenny, interviews fascinating people and wild characters in this political comedy podcast. So tune in Thursdays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network for pop culture.
Sacha Baron Cohen dresses up as different characters and interviews people. And sometimes they're just like average Americans, and sometimes they're really, really famous politicians and personalities.
Politics.
But we know this song and dance, right? It was called Triangulation during the Clinton years.
Yeah, and it was how we ended up destroying a bunch of the social safety net.
And a sprinkling of treason.
Light Treason News on the Progressive Radio Network.
Stay tuned to PRN.fm for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network, and I'm here with my guest, Dr. Dana Cohen, talking about her new book, Quench, Beat Fatigue, Drop Weight, and Heal Your Body Through the New Science of Optimum Hydration. So, Dana, by the way, is it okay if I call you Dana?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you. So you talk about eating your water. Can you explain that to us? Some foods contain a gel-like water that is more viscous than actual liquid of water. Can you explain that a little more?
So this was the research that Gina came and talked to me about a couple of years ago. So we always knew that water exists in three phases, liquid, ice, and vapor, right? Now we know that there is a fourth phase of water. And that fourth phase is we call it gel water or structured water, and it's basically literally how those water molecules like lie upon each other, how they structure, and there's certain things that make its structure better, things like electrolytes. We actually sunlight helps structure water, and then greens and fiber and all these things that will help make structured water. It is this type of water, and by the way, that structured water, in the way that they line up, in the way that they structure, they form almost a different chemical equation because they're sharing electrons now at this point. And those electrons are then what's going to be used for energy. And so water is not only hydration, it's literally fuel. Those electrons will then get moved and store and hold energy like a battery. Very, really interesting, fascinating research from Dr. Gerald Pollack. And other scientists are studying this all throughout the world. So it is in that gel form of water that is the water that's found in our cells, and it's also the type of water that's found in nature and plants and vegetables. So think about celery and iceberg lettuce. You can literally see the water. Or think about, let me go back. Think about desert plants, how desert plants hydrate. Think about aloe and cactus. You open up that aloe plant, that's gel water. You can see it. You can feel it. Now, not all gel water is that easily seen, but that's the type of water that's, like I said, in vegetables like celery. And I like to mention iceberg lettuce because we all think that iceberg lettuce has no nutritional value. It's probably one of the most hydrating foods out there. So that's gel water. And the idea of eating your water by getting more of these plants and vegetables in us is just a far superior way of hydrating. And if you try it on, you'll see it for yourself. And I've done experiments on myself. I've done it on my patients. And, you'll feel the difference in literally one day of just...
Yeah, does it make a difference if you eat the celery and the iceberg lettuce, or if you were to juice it? I mean, if you're juicing and you're getting the juice out of it, are you taking away the gel aspect of it? And just being left with the water?
No, I mean, I think juicing is fine. Juicing is good. You're getting gel water in there. We do talk about the difference between juicing and making smoothies. Smoothies to us, and the definition to us in the book, is basically macerated vegetables, blended vegetables, and not necessarily like adding yogurt or making, you know, ice cream. smoothies are just basically blended vegetables where you're keeping the fiber. You know, you're macerating the fiber versus pulling the fiber out. I think the fiber really helps with absorption of getting, I think it's a little more hydrating when you do smoothies and keep that fiber versus juicing. Juicing is great, and there's some places for it. Certain things, I think there's too much sugar in juicing. I definitely don't love fruit juicing. But vegetable juicing is great. People will notice a difference if they're doing juicing, but I do like to keep some of that fiber in there. And, you know, the book has over almost 50 recipes on green smoothies, how to make smoothies, and other hydrating foods in there. So, yeah, we're talking about making smoothies, keeping the vegetables in, the fiber in, is, I think, better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what are some of the foods that have gel-like water that you talk about in the book?
So, you know, it's interesting. I've been talking about the book now for a couple months during the summer. So I always talk about summer fruits like like prickly pears. And so now that we're coming into the fall, I'm going to talk about a couple different things. And I think what I do in the fall is I'll make my smoothies with some different vegetables now that we're in the fall, but I'll typically do a lot of additives in the fall. So like I'll do, you know, cinnamon and turmeric in my smoothies. I'll play around with some herbs and those kind of things. So all summer long I was talking about lychee fruit. Lychee, do you know what lychees are?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
My friend
love
has a lychee tree on her property in Florida.
Oh my God, I'm envious. Uh-huh. I love them. They're so delicious. So lychee is there's ancient Chinese fruits. They're delicious. If you ever open a lychee, you can literally see the gel water popping out of you. These ancient Chinese princesses used to consume them to help with their skin. So they're really good for skin health. They're help with metabolism and inflammation, and they're a natural diuretic. However, when you eat lychee, they're pretty high in sugar. So, but I'll still put a couple and just sort of throw them in water, like infuse them. I don't even blend them. I'll just throw.
Now, do you get them fresh? Do you get them fresh up around here?
I don't know how fresh they're coming in from. I think Mexico. I'm not sure where they're coming in from, but yeah. I mean, during the summer, I found them all over the place. I found them in the bodegas across the street. I live in Queens. You know, I found them in my Queens bodega. I was like, oh my God, I love this. But So the point of what I'm trying to say is, now in the wintertime, you can't get them. They're very seasonal too. So I will. I use a supplement that's made from lychee and polyphenols, and it's very high in polyphenols. And they've done research on this supplement. It's called Oligonol. They've done research on it that it's been shown to decrease belly fat. It helps with skin wrinkles and brown spots in your skin. It helps protect you from UV radiation. Really high in these polyphenols. And I'll literally open up those capsules and throw two in my smoothies in the morning, along with other supplements that I use. So you're getting the benefits of the lychee, and you're throwing it into your smoothie without the sugar, and we can't get them now. So Oligonol is one. I love that supplement. Really good for you. And
is there different quality of Oligonol? That's new to me, so I'm not sure. You know, I don't know about it.
It's literally a supplement. That's the name. I think it's the trademark name, I believe, of the supplement. It's Oligonol, and there's so much like human research backing up this supplement about literally decreasing belly fat and helping your skin. And I've seen a difference using it. I've been using it for about a year now, I actually take the supplement and. In the summertime, eat the lychee also.
So is there some that are like derived, you know, from organic lychees versus, you know, lychees that were sprayed or anything like that one needs to watch out for?
You know, that's a, I don't know about the organic. I would assume, but I don't. I can't say about that. But I think that they are. I don't know. That's a very good question about the organic lychee. I think it's only one product that makes it, and I think the benefits are there. Like I said, over 30 human clinical trials on it, but the organic question I can't answer. That's a very good question. I'm actually going to call the company when we hang up and ask. Yeah,
send me an email. Let me know, and I'll share that with my listeners.
Excellent.
Okay, so what other foods?
So other foods.
More than just that.
So you mentioned it earlier. The star of the show is chia seeds. Chia seeds.
So that's not just a trendy thing with health food nuts, right?
I don't think so. No, chia seeds. I think they are. The superfood of the year. So chia seeds, as most people know, when you put fluid on them, water, they form that gel. You see the gel. You know, they make chia pudding. You can actually, it makes this pudding, this very gel-like substance. And chia seeds can help with endurance and weight loss, let alone the omega-3 benefits. So very high in alpha-linolenic acid, ALA. That's our sort of parent omega-3 that all of our other omega-3s are made from. So it helps with digestion and energy. And I like to grind my chia seeds because you'll get more surface area, you'll get more gel, and you can add them to your smoothies, you can put them on your oatmeal or your salads. And
do you have to grind them even if you're putting them into the Vitamix?
You don't have to grind them. I like grinding them. I just think I feel, in my mind, I feel like I get more more gel, more surface area.
Mm-hmm. But, and what about flax seeds?
I mean,
flax seeds does that same kind of thing. I mean, I use flax seeds all the time in my vegan cooking to replace eggs because they create that
same
gel
category.
Type of thing.
Yep.
Same category.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I think the flax has definitely a flavor to me different than chia seeds. I feel like chia doesn't have much of a flavor. Flax is a little more nuttier. Same idea. I like flax seeds. I like chia seeds. I add those to my smoothies. I add them to my yogurts, my oatmeals, those kind of things. I love flax too. Very high, also very high in the same omega-3 alpha-linolenic acid. So other things, since we're in the fall, we're talking about sort of additives to our smoothies. Cinnamon. I've been doing a lot of research on cinnamon. The way it helps with blood sugar, is really, really phenomenal. So I'll add cinnamon to certain smoothies. And there's a couple recipes in the book, that we have one called an Omega Miracle, smoothie, and it's ground chia, coconut milk, almond butter, hemp seeds, cinnamon. You can add with water. You could add a little black pepper in there too if you wanted to. So cinnamon is great to put into your smoothies. Let's talk about ghee. Do you eat ghee?
Not usually.
No.
I would use that for cooking Indian food, but so often when I'm cooking Indian food, I'm also doing it for vegans. So I've replaced it with coconut oil these days.
Right. It's so interesting. As I was preparing for you, I looked at my my book and I realized I may have a typo. I wrote a vegan oat milk with honey.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to get a lot of backlash from that. I just realized that.
Everyone takes. Diet is just such a personal thing after being in it for so long. I mean, some people are vegans, they are vegans, they don't want to kill the animal, but they don't feel so bad about honey, they don't feel like they're killing a big animal, but you do, we are beekeepers, and we do, I know, and my husband is, he actually is a beekeeper. I just help extract the honey.
Nice.
But, bees definitely die when you are taking the... honey out of the beehive. So,
But I just realized I wrote vegan. I specifically, that's the title of the smoothie, vegan oat milk with honey.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh no, I don't know what I was thinking.
So you do maple syrup or agave?
Yeah. So Honey I Love, though, honey is both, it's a humectant and a demulcent, meaning, so it's a natural hydrator. It increases moisture in the body, seals as a moisture, and the demulcent brings in moisture. So I love, you could add a little honey, you know, if, and obviously in small amounts, and obviously if you have blood sugar problems, that needs to, you need to think about that. Mm-hmm. Cardamom. I love playing around with cardamom. Aids in digestion. You can add some. We have some recipes in the book using cardamom. I don't have anything open right this second, but I'll even suck on cardamom pods just to sort of freshen my breath, that kind of thing. But cardamom is definitely an additive you can add to your smoothies and play around with. All of these things, basically, what they're doing is they're changing the structure of the water. When it's going to make them more gel-like. So when you're adding minerals and fiber to your water, you're going to change that structure. When I started to say this earlier, when I did some experiments on myself, I was at a conference in Las Vegas, and I said, I'm going to hydrate really well today. I'm sitting in this conference all day long, sitting in front of a table 8 hours a day at lectures, not moving, and there's a pitcher of water in front of everybody, and I said, I'm going to drink, and feel, you know, I'm going to really do a good job. And at the end of the day, I felt horrible. I was exhausted. I was getting up to pee every hour in between lectures, and my pee now was crystal clear. Couldn't see, not even a trace of color in it. And it did nothing to me. I didn't feel good. I still was exhausted. And then the next day, I said, I'm going to change this up, and I'm going to structure my water. So I'm going to do a green smoothie in the morning. I'm going to do some infusions in my water, even lemon and a little sea salt. That's one of the rules that we give in the book. You should wake up and front load your water by drinking a big glass of 16 ounces with a little pinch of sea salt and a little lemon or lime in there. That in and of itself is going to change that structure. You're going to hold on to it better than just peeing it out all day.
You know, very interesting. Yeah. And I love that you're using the herbs, you know, because, we think of it only as spices, but you don't think of the medicinal quality that is inherent in so many of the spices that we use or don't use. I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
No. I'm studying herbalism now. I'm really, there's so much to learn. It's so incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Fascinating.
Right.
Mother Nature.
And we just,
is
in
so
our
smart.
Culture, we just, you know, we don't, are not used to it. I mean, that's, you know, it's ancient wisdom that has been lost. And so, you know, we do need to study it and learn about it because it's just phenomenal. One of the speakers at the upcoming conference on Food is Medicine panel, Ellen Kamai, she's the natural nurse. She also has a show on this program on Progressive Radio Network. She's amazing. She knows so much about so many herbs and medicinal qualities, and as well as, you know, foraging. I mean, really, so knowledgeable. If you're interested, you can, you know, I know she gives classes as well. But she's just amazing. So it is so much to learn. But my question was to you, what about the prepackaged drinks that we're seeing now that have the chia seeds in them or the flax seeds in them? Are they healthy, or they've now been bottled and they've been sitting there for a while, you know, they're not a fresh product anymore. What do you think about those? Because they're everywhere. I know my younger daughter drinks them all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're okay. The truth is, chia seeds are dirt cheap. You know, to make, even a chia pudding is so inexpensive. A little pot of chia pudding in the store is like something like $5. It literally will cost you like 25 cents to make that same amount of chia pudding at home, and it's so easy. There's 1,000 recipes online, and I think they're okay. I don't know. It just depends. You have to look at every label. You have to see what's in it. I truly think the healthiest people I know are people who cook for themselves mostly, and buy things, you know, are sort of switching out and buying things more just quickly, you know, and using them up. So I I don't have a lot to say, and I think it depends on the product. I'd have to look at it.
I mean, one of the things I actually do like is that they come in glass jars, most of them, not in plastic, you know? So that by itself, and it has to be refrigerated, which also means it wasn't sitting in a hot truck in the plastic. Because that people drink water all the time and in plastic bottles, and my biggest pet peeve is that you don't know how long that was sitting in a hot truck in the summer, trucking somewhere, and you know how the plastic leaches. I don't know.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're drinking it. They're leaving it in their car all day and then drinking it.
Right.
So yeah, the plastic is definitely an issue. I mean, that's also one of the things about the book, and we really try to bring light to this too. Is we do need to get those plastic bottles out of our hands, and it is our environment is suffering, and it is at a just horrible things that we're doing, and the plastic bottles have to go. And one of the ways, you know, by eating your food and by doing this and packaging your own, you know, smoothie and bringing it with you to work in a glass bottle is the way to go. This book has an environmental impact for sure.
Wonderful. Well, Dana, we're just about out of time. So can you just share with everyone your website and whatever other information you'd like to share before we run out of time?
Thank you. Yes. So my website is www.drdanacohen.com. Find me on social media. Tell me where you heard me from. Would love to hear from you. I think that's it. The book is called Quench. It's wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I've learned so much from the book. It's really wonderful.
Thank you.
You know, I am going to take up with that structured water and put it into my body more now that I've read this book. So thanks.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And everyone out there listening, thank you so much. Please mark your calendars. Get the tickets for the Long Island Food Conference coming up on November 3rd. Right now we have an early bird special. Tickets are only $30. It includes even breakfast and lunch. It's an all-day event. We really priced it so that everyone can come. And if that's still too much for you, just send us an email. We will, you know, we definitely have some ways to help you out. So we want everyone there who cares about food to come. So anyway, thank you, everyone. Have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you all again next Thursday. Bye for now.